Welcome to the Nowracast Tech Briefing. I am your host, and we have a lot of ground to cover today in the worlds of AI and edge computing.
That is right. We are tracking some fascinating developments that really challenge the conventional wisdom about how these technologies are being used in the real world.
For our first deep dive, we are looking at a compelling new argument regarding generative AI. The popular narrative has always been that large language models democratize skills, turning novices into experts. But a new analysis suggests the exact opposite might be true.
We are also going to get highly technical with our second deep dive. Defense unicorns just pushed a new release candidate for their Pete Mesh protocol, which is a decentralized mesh networking system used in tactical environments. They have made some major changes to how data commits are handled on the edge.
It is a perfect example of the hidden infrastructure required to make edge AI actually function in the field. Plus, we will round out the show with the growing backlash against AI-generated blog images and the recent Xbox outage that locked players out of their physical discs.
There is a common thread today about trust and reliability in our digital systems. Let us get into the first story.
Our first story today focuses on a fascinating piece published by Sean Godecky on July 24th, 2026, titled simply LLMs Reward Expertise. For the last couple of years, the marketing pitch for large language models has essentially been one of democratization, the idea that anyone can be a programmer, anyone can be a writer, and anyone can synthesize complex data just by typing a prompt into a chat box. But Godecky argues that this democratization angle is fundamentally flawed, and that domain knowledge is actually the primary driver of high-quality output.
It is a really refreshing take. And to prove his point, he uses a brilliant case study involving the brilliant mathematician Terence Tao. Tao recently shared his interactions with ChatGPT regarding the Jacobian conjecture, which is a notoriously difficult, long-standing open problem in algebraic geometry. Godecky analyzes that specific interaction to show how an expert gets an entirely different level of performance out of the model compared to a novice. It is not just about writing a clever prompt. It is about the fundamental understanding of the subject matter.
Exactly. When a novice asks an LLM a question, they usually accept the first plausible sounding answer because they do not know any better. They do not have the vocabulary to steer the model. And more importantly, they lack the ability to detect when the model is subtly wrong. But when Terence Tao talks to ChatGPT, he is using highly specific, technical framing. He is actively pushing back on its assumptions and correcting its logical leaps. Godecky points out that this kind of interaction forces the model into a much more sophisticated mode of operation.
That concept of modes is really the crux of the technical argument here. We know that next token prediction relies entirely on the context window. If you fill that context window with precise, expert-level terminology and rigorous mathematical logic, the model is statistically driven to generate text that matches that level of rigor. It is not just that the expert is asking a better question, they are literally shaping the probabilistic environment that the model is operating in. A novice simply cannot create that environment because they do not have the words for it.
And that brings up a really critical point about the Dunning-Kruger effect in the age of AI. If you do not know much about a topic, the LLM's output looks like absolute magic. It feels like you have just gained a new superpower. But because you cannot evaluate the quality of the output, you might be producing completely mediocre or even entirely hallucinated work without realizing it. Godecky's argument suggests that the gap between experts and novices might actually widen rather than narrow as these tools become more deeply integrated into professional workflows.
I think that is the most profound takeaway for the enterprise sector. We have been treating prompt engineering as if it is this standalone, magical skill that anyone can learn in a weekend seminar. But the reality is that the best prompt engineering is just having deep domain expertise. You cannot prompt a model to write a highly optimized Rust network stack if you do not know what a highly optimized Rust network stack looks like. You will not know when the model makes a subtle memory management error that introduces a security vulnerability.
So how does a non-expert navigate this? If you need to use an LLM for a task outside your core competency, are you just doomed to get mediocre results? It seems like the only way to effectively use these models in a new domain is to use them as interactive tutors to build your own expertise, rather than using them as black box generators to do the work for you.
That is exactly the pivot we need to make. You have to use the model to learn the domain vocabulary first. You have to ask it to explain its reasoning, cross-reference its claims with other sources, and slowly build your own mental model of the subject. Only then can you start steering the LLM effectively. It is a much slower process than the instant expertise the industry is trying to sell, but it is the only way to avoid the trap of confidently producing low-quality work. The AI does not replace the need to know things, it just changes the speed at which you can apply that knowledge.
It also raises an interesting question about the future of entry-level jobs. If the model rewards expertise, then senior engineers and senior writers are going to become exponentially more productive. But if junior employees are just using the AI to generate work they cannot properly verify, their value proposition drops significantly. Companies might find that they need fewer people overall, but the people they do retain need to be absolute masters of their craft.
Right. The premium on true expertise is going up, not down. It is a fascinating paradox. We built these incredibly broad, general-purpose machines, but their highest and best use is acting as a force multiplier for deep, narrow human specialization. It is going to be very interesting to see how educational institutions and corporate training programs adapt to this reality over the next few years.
Let us shift gears from the philosophy of AI to some hardcore edge infrastructure. We are looking at a new release candidate from Defense Unicorns for their Peat Mesh protocol. Specifically, this is release version 0.9.0, release candidate 61. If you are not tracking this project, Peat Mesh is a decentralized, autonomous mesh networking protocol designed specifically for tactical environments. It is built entirely in Rust, and it relies heavily on AutoMerge for its conflict-free replicated data types, or CRDTs, as well as IRO for its quick transport layer.
The context here is absolutely critical to understanding why this update matters. This is not for your standard AWS cloud deployment. Peat Mesh is built for what the military calls DIL environments, which stands for Disconnected, Intermittent, and Low Bandwidth. Imagine a squad of soldiers carrying specialized phones, a swarm of drones acting as overhead sensors, and a ruggedized AI edge server in a Humvee. They all need to share a common operating picture, but they do not have a central server, and their network connections are constantly dropping as they move through complex terrain.
Right, and in that kind of environment, how you store and sync data is a matter of life and death. That brings us to the core of this specific update. The storage backend for Peat Mesh is Redbee, which is an embedded, ACID-compliant key-value store that is also written in Rust. In this V0.9.0 RC.61 release, they have introduced opt-in grouped durable commits for bounded multi-key collections. The default write policy still keeps immediate durability, but these new grouped policies allow the system to be much smarter about how it writes to the disk.
To break that down, when you are operating on a mobile device or a battery-powered sensor, writing to the flash memory is expensive. It takes power and it takes time. If every single state change from the CRDT triggers an immediate write to disk, you are going to burn through your battery and bottleneck your CPU. These new grouped policies bound the queuing by delay, entry count, and serialized bytes. So the system can essentially wait and say, let us gather up all these minor state changes and commit selected keys in one single Redbee transaction.
And the crucial part of that mechanism is that it only acknowledges the callers and emits change notifications after that single transaction fully succeeds. This ensures data consistency, but it also introduces a fascinating tension. If you are grouping commits to save battery and I/O operations, there is a small window of time where that data is in memory, but not yet durable on the disk. In a tactical environment, if a drone gets shot down or a device loses power suddenly, you could lose that uncommitted batch.
Exactly, which is why it is an opt-in policy. The system designers can look at a specific data stream and decide. For highly critical, immediate threat data, they might stick with the default immediate durability policy. But for routine telemetry or background state syncing, they can use the grouped durable commits to save resources. It gives the engineers the knobs they need to balance reliability against performance on constrained hardware.
The update also includes a really important fix to the coalescing logic.
Previously, there were issues with how the system handled deferred documents. Now, they have ensured that the worker threads honor each deferred document's effective per-collection coalescing deadline. The worker actually sleeps until the earliest pending deadline. It only flushes eligible entries, and it retains the newest replacement without postponing its promise.
That sleeping behavior is huge for power management. In a Rust application on an edge device, if you have a thread constantly waking up to pull a queue or check a deadline, it prevents the CPU from entering its deep sleep states. By calculating the exact earliest deadline and putting the thread to sleep until that microsecond, PeatMash is drastically reducing the power envelope required to run the coordination layer. They also fix the shutdown process so it properly drains accepted state during an orderly shutdown, preventing data corruption when a unit powers down their gear.
It is a great example of the hidden complexity of edge AI. We spend so much time talking about model weights and inference speeds, but if the heterogeneous systems cannot reliably share state and maintain situational awareness without a central server, the AI is useless. PeatMash using CRDTs to handle eventual consistency across a fractured network is the foundation that makes tactical edge AI possible.
And building it all in Rust on top of Iroh and Redbee means they are getting memory safety and massive performance gains right out of the box. As these decentralized coordination protocols mature, we are going to see them adopted outside the military too. Things like disaster response, remote industrial automation, and autonomous drone swarms all face the exact same networking challenges that Defense Unicorns is solving here.
All right, let us hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up today's briefing.
Sounds good. We have got a couple of items highlighting friction points between users and modern digital systems, starting with the content we consume.
First up, a blog post by Nelson Figueroa titled "AI-Generated Images Discourage Me from Reading Your Blog" gained massive traction on Hacker News, pulling in over 600 points. His core argument is that the presence of AI-generated imagery serves as a massive low-effort signal, leading readers to immediately question whether the accompanying text is also automated slop.
It is a very rational heuristic for readers to adopt. We are seeing a growing tension where creators use generative AI for efficiency, but audiences view it as a false value signal. People are increasingly looking for markers of human effort, like original photography or bespoke graphics, just to establish baseline trust before they invest their time in reading an article.
And speaking of broken trust, a major Xbox outage over the July 26th weekend unexpectedly blocked players from launching physical disc-based games. Because modern games often use the disc merely as a license key, the console still required a server-side entitlement check, meaning players were locked out of games they physically owned.
Xbox CTO Scott Van Vliet confirmed the failure was tied to an external licensing service dependency and stated that disc games should remain playable offline by design. Microsoft is working on an update to fix local entitlement checks, but this incident really threw gasoline on the digital ownership debate, highlighting the fragility of our increasingly online-dependent media ecosystems.
And that is our briefing for today. Thank you for joining us as we navigate the complexities of our changing technological landscape.
We will be back tomorrow with more updates from the edge of tech. Until then, stay curious.